Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, I'm Janice Tunnell, your host of Beauty Talk for today, December 9th. Our guest tonight is Donna Nee, but before we speak with Donna, I just want to remind you all that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can call in and ask a question or make a comment. Also, you can join us in the chat room where my sister Denise will be and asking all the questions from the chat room tonight. So make sure you join us in the chat room as well. And as always, you can leave comments on our Facebook Beauty Talk page, as well as email us at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. And I'll let Denise share a little beauty news tonight.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We would like to congratulate
Ada Miller and Maya Ray for being our two winners for our Z Palette giveaway. They each won two of the latest Z Palettes, and so we want to encourage you all to stay tuned to Beauty Talk for more giveaways. Also, if you're planning to attend IMATS LA this year, well, I shouldn't say this year, IMATS LA has moved from June to January, so January 19th and 20th. Of 2013 at the Pasadena Convention Center will be the new IMATS Pasadena or IMATS LA. And for more information, you can go to imatsla.net to check out ticket prices and to actually see if there are still tickets available. Normally they sell out pretty fast, so you want to make sure you get over there and check out tickets if you're planning to go.
Sounds good. That's going to be a little... It seems a little strange being at IMATS in January, so. But I'm sure it'll work out. It'll work out fine.
I'm pretty sure it's a little too soon for those people who normally, especially like us, we normally go every year in June, and to turn around and go back in January is a little weird.
Do you guys
right.
know why they changed it?
Yeah, they said something about, I think it had a lot to do with the London show. Like,
walking up that big hill to get to their venue in the snow really sucked.
yeah, that's what I heard. So they took the June date, which, you know, June, I don't know, it was just a ritual for us for the past 11 years. So it's kind of hard to... it's kind of hard to change.
Yeah, because some of us may be facing snow trying to get out there.
right, exactly. Yeah, exactly, from the East Coast. Yeah, exactly. So,
did you know there's actually a new show that's going to be the same weekend IMATS used to be?
No.
Say that again?
There's a new show starting the same weekend IMATS used to be. Someone's taking advantage of that opportunity, knowing a lot of people will just fly in anyway.
Mm.
Kind of brilliant, really.
Mm.
It's called Fame. It's a hair and makeup show.
It's called what now?
Fame, P-H-A-M-E, for the Professional Hair and Makeup Expo.
Same weekend.
Wow, is that going to be in Pasadena or just somewhere in L.A.?
In Pasadena, exact same venue, exact same days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's two employees that used to work for IMATS.
Oh, of course.
Anyway.
What's we'll that? Look into that. So we'll look into that and see what we can find out.
Okay. Yeah, you need to have a booth
well, you know
there
what?
Doing live interviews.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's
well,
the
that's,
plan.
You know, that's the plan. Exactly.
I'll hook you guys up.
Oh, great.
Well,
all right.
Sounds good.
We'll hold you to it.
We appreciate that one. Well, listen, everybody. Our guest tonight is a makeup artist, beauty expert, educator, and I want to let her introduce herself in her own way, but welcome to the show, Donna Mee.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate that. For those
We're
of
so
you
glad
don't...
to have you.
For those of you who have never heard of me, I've been doing makeup for 31 years now. It's hard to swallow. A lot of people that are
wow.
my age in the business just like to say over 20 because it makes us not sound as old, but
right.
I know
right,
I look
right.
good for my age. I know
right.
I look good for my age, so I don't have a problem with it.
There you go.
But what I specialize in is corrective beauty makeup, mostly for print is what I do now. But I also
okay.
like to think I specialize in teaching the advanced methods that I've developed. So, you know, a lot of people don't really know what corrective makeup is, but it's a lot of people think it has something to do with camouflage or, you
mm-hmm.
know, paramedical makeup or stuff like that. And it really has nothing to do with the medical makeup, although you can utilize it in that field. Corrective makeup is creating a different illusion of bone structure or ideally making everyone more attractive, more to the epitome of beauty is.
And Donna, and wouldn't you say that should be our approach to makeup in general?
Well, for the everyday woman, you know, yeah. But most of them, they don't even understand it. They don't know what
right.
it is. You know, most
right.
makeup artists, in all honestly, don't know how to do it.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a lost art. So it's, you know, to me, it's much more of a compliment for someone to walk up to someone and say, oh, your eyes are so beautiful. Not, wow, I love that eyeshadow. It's blah, blah, blah brand, blah, blah, blah color, and the names that they memorize and whatnot. But, you know, some people, that's a compliment to them. You know, they're getting
right.
a compliment regardless. But you'd rather have a compliment like, you know, I own that eyeshadow too is not a compliment
right.
necessarily.
Right.
Just like with fragrance, you'd rather someone say, oh, you smell wonderful, not, you know, oh, you have, you know, Tiffany on, don't you? You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of the same thing in makeup. You know, for models, I always say, as a corrective makeup artist, it's much more of a compliment for someone to say, oh, wow, she's beautiful, and you just hold it to yourself and go, you just should have seen her walk in. She looked like a troll. You know, we've created beauty. We can create beauty where it doesn't exist, and, of course, you can totally enhance it when it's already there as well.
Right.
It's, you know, just a different kind of thing.
Right.
You know, if it's something for runway or fashion, obviously corrective beauty, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, it's a stage performance, basically. If someone's on runway, they're there to, you know, get attention, get press for the designer. So sometimes the designer will request crazy over-the-top high fashion makeups because, you know, their collection this season isn't going to get press. So they want that. You know, and sometimes it's like be very subtle and subdued and just, you know, be the supporter of our garments, you know, and the designs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
you know, for runway can be whatever. When it comes to print, of course, it's whatever. It's a fashion magazine. It's whatever's in season they want to promote. That's what they're going to put. But, you know, for everyday women, you know, we're not supermodels. It would be
right.
fabulous if everybody knew how to, you know, create the illusion of a more almond and up tilt eye or, you know, to fix their crooked nose or whatnot.
Right. right. Wow. What are some of the, I guess, some of the main problems or issues of some of your clients have come to you with? Like, for instance, I know you probably can see some things that need to be corrected, you know, right away as soon as you see someone. But what are some of the issues some people will say to you, you know, I feel like I need this to be corrected or I need this to look this way?
Well, I think what's so much common is, you know, customers will say, oh, you know, I hate my eyes are so droopy, or I have downcast eyes, or hooded lids. You know, everybody thinks everybody's hooded, and technically a hooded lid is loss of elasticity when from the crease to the brow area is hanging on top of the crease to the lash line area, which, you know, most
mm-hmm.
people don't possess that unless they're about 80.
Right.
or older.
Mm-hmm.
But people think they have a hooded lid, you know, and there's makeup artists out there telling everyone they have hooded lids, which, you know, it's, I don't know, it's frustrating for me as a makeup artist and as an educator that people just don't know how to technically tell somebody something. And it's just that most people will line the eye, you know, dark all the way around, drawing attention to what they have,
Right.
And it's, you know, it's their shape of their crease to lash line, which has nothing to do with eye shape or loss of elasticity. But so many people think, you know, they've been told they have something that they don't. And if, you know, people knew corrective makeup, just showing them how to differently apply a liner, whether it's the inner rim, underneath, and on top, in a different way, you can make almost any eye look close to almond and up tilt, or at least less of what it is. But there's a lot of people that aren't downcast or droopy, but the way they do their makeup like everybody else, cookie cutter style, they do what their friends do, and it makes them look these things.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of people that are not close set, you know, their eyes, but they look close set because, you know, there's, I think, 8 different things that can make you look close set even when you're not. And most makeup artists don't know how to adjust those things.
Right.
I say most. A lot, I should say, perhaps. I'm probably making a lot of enemies out there, which I'm usually very good at.
So I remember when, I think I remember seeing you at IMATS a few years back, and you were in the class that you were teaching. I remember you showing photos of different celebrities and this bright under eye. I'm assuming, you know, the makeup artist put concealer under the eye or set it with, like, some kind of bright powder or something. And I remember all the photos that you were showing with this, with celebrities with this bright under eye. Do you remember that?
I think when we're talking about ingredients that are photo-friendly for artists
yes.
that aspire to do print work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's been a big controversy.
Yes.
Because I mean, a lot of people go, oh, my God, thank God someone finally taught me this. I didn't know all these years. I've been embarrassed. I always make them fix it in Photoshop. And then I have just as many people that are just so angry and embarrassed themselves that they've been doing it and, you know, don't want to admit it's their fault. So they say that it's a myth that I made it all up. So it's kind of silly. I mean, we all have pictures of ourselves thinking, look, we look great at a party or at a club or something. You take your picture and your head is, like, you know, way too light for your body. I call it the ET syndrome because it looks like your neck's a mile long closer to the camera.
Well, you
know, we all have those pictures.
It wasn't so bad when photographers were shooting with film.
Well, actually, it was worse.
Well, maybe when I did it, maybe I just didn't apply it the same way that people are doing it now because it just looks ridiculous now.
Well, yeah, there's definitely less photo-friendly products out there. It's part of, you know, one of the things in the industry is, you know, the ingredients that are put into those products that, you know, if you want to do print work, you should be avoiding is mainly titanium dioxide, micas, zincs, pavas, anything with oxides. So all that mineral makeup, as much as they want to pretend those are
right.
the things in their ads, they're not. I've worked on some of those shoots.
Right.
You know, they're just not photo-friendly. They're, you know, meant to reflect the sun so it doesn't absorb and penetrate in the skin and give you a sunburn, but the same way it reflects the flash of the camera and, it, you know, you get the backflash at you. So sometimes it's just your face is too white. Sometimes it's almost greenish, purplish, bluish. It just depends on the ingredients they used and how much of it. And so many people have sunscreen already in their moisturizer on their face, then in the foundation, then in the powder. So, you know, and as much coverage as they apply, it's just getting worse and worse.
Right.
Wow. What do you think makes a great makeup artist for print?
What makes a great artist for print?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody who understands the fine details. So many makeup artists don't ever see their work until after it's been photoshopped, which is becoming, sadly, the norm with photographers.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants their work to be out there unless it's adjusted, which is all fine for their career.
Right.
But for makeup artists that are trying to learn and grow their skills and, you know, grow their craft, I always say to a photographer, imagine if you shot all night, I took the disc of images, I adjusted it, I changed the saturation, I did this and contrast and blah, 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 all this, and then gave it to you. You would just think you rocked. How long would it take you to learn how to light that the right way?
Mm-hmm.
And they always look at me like, oh, wow, never thought about that. Exactly. So most photographers will complain about makeup artists. Oh, I saw their portfolio. They looked amazing. I hired them, and the work was hideous. Like, I had to spend days in Photoshop. And I just laugh at them, and I say, and then what'd you do? Give her the Photoshop pictures so she can go fool more people.
Right.
And then they laugh at me and go, oh, my God, you got me again. Exactly. So don't complain because you're the one doing it to each other.
Right.
So, you know, I teach in all my classes for my makeup artists to, you know, you have to stand up for yourself and you have to request to see the unedited images or you can't possibly master your craft. You're always that person
right.
that, you know, depends on Photoshop. So many people don't even know how bad their work is. I know some pretty famous makeup artists that I've seen their works. I have friends that do editing for a lot of the big magazines, and it's quite shocking that I know they don't probably know. So
wow.
Somebody who sees their work before. So I teach new makeup artists. You know, you're working with newer photographers at your level. You know, I agree that not everyone's going to hand you a disc full of unedited stuff because they don't know where it's going to end up. And, you know,
right.
a lot
right.
of new makeup artists just don't understand the industry, and they post it everywhere because they're so proud of it, and everyone's
right.
horrified. So, you know, of course, I understand the photographer's stance, but I train the makeup artists to meet with a photographer. Just say that whole spiel about, you know, imagine how long would it take you to perfect your lighting if you never saw it till it was fixed. I'm the same way. At least let me come to your house. Let me sit at your computer. Let me look at the images.
Right.
Let me learn to go, wow, he had to actually put more blush on in Photoshop. I didn't realize it washed out. Or,
right.
holy cow, I didn't blend that as good as I thought based on the lighting he's doing, you know. And
mm-hmm.
just when you master skills with one photographer or with someone else, they light totally different. It's like a whole new ball of wax. There's not one way to teach somebody how to, you know, you can teach a lot about lighting and if it's indoor and outdoor and the time of day or if it's black and white and back when it was either digital or film, and there's so much to learn, but depending on how each specific photographer lights, there's another extra little learning curve there.
Right.
But you have to know your products and, you know, your tools and know enough about skin to be picking the right formulations and, you know, utilizing the right color choices if it's indoor or outdoor and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That just, it takes practice and experience. But I mean,
absolutely.
To answer my long answer to your question, what makes a good print artist is someone who's been able to actually study their work and perfect it. You know, you can start with great education, but there's still so many lessons to be learned on your own.
Absolutely.
You know, you see a lot of makeup artists out there who call themselves print makeup artists, and you know, when you do see their photos that they're posting on Instagram or wherever, you know, you see them use lots and lots of color, lots of color in the eye, you know, lots of color on the lips. So
and face painting and rhinestones and
yeah,
beads
uh-huh.
and buttons and feathers.
All of that.
God bless them for wanting to be a makeup artist. That's the first thing that comes to my mind every time.
But, you know, being a makeup artist for print, I mean, just tell, like, speak to the so-called print artists who are doing all these things and just kind of tell them what they should expect to do as a print artist, you know, if they're in Vogue or I mean, you know,
right.
Glamour or whatever. What type of makeup should they expect to do?
I actually spoke about this at IMATS in Sydney this year. I did, you know, a whole day on it, and then they begged me to make it a 2-day because they want, you know, they needed it to be reinforced. Oh, gosh. Put the arts and crafts down. That's pretty much my best advice because people who don't know, you don't know what you don't know until you realize you didn't know. I mean, I know that sounds silly, but that has so much to do in our industry, and people just think they got it down until they learn something, and their, you know, their portfolio they loved yesterday, all of a sudden they're embarrassed because they just now, you know, hone their eye to see something different, and it's a rude awakening when a lot of artists get there. But my beef, in all honesty, is with the schools because it's the schools that are teaching this. Because, you know, teaching ideally doesn't pay very much. There's, at least in the state of California, we have limits of what you can even pay as a teacher because I own a school. And it's frustrating because my students out there, or my graduates, I should say, that are doing amazing work and making thousands of dollars a day and booked and traveling all over the world, you know, I can't do what they, you know, I can't pay them what they're getting. So they don't want to come back. And the ones who want to come back and teach are the ones that haven't really done it themselves. So, I don't allow that. I don't have a, you know, an 18 or 20-year-old who graduated last semester teaching. And so many schools do. And that's so frustrating. And they honestly don't have a great book. They don't really know what's supposed to be in a book. They usually haven't had stuff published. So they just kind of go, okay, let's be creative. What do you guys want to do today? Okay. and somebody is out there teaching. You know, the more stuff you glue on their face, the better, apparently. I showed a bunch of beautiful images from Pat McGrath. That, you know, she's so known for her gorgeous high-fashion runway looks. And so I put a slideshow together of, you know, lots of her amazing fashion looks. And then when you just Google high-fashion, so anybody sitting at home on their computer listening to this, I challenge you to Google high-fashion makeup right now. As you're watching this, and you're going to crack up because it is just an arts and crafts project, what the average public thinks high-fashion means. And it's just kind of silly. I always say, you know, they all aspire to do, you know, magazines and celebrity work. It's like, when's the last time you saw buttons and sequins and seashells glued to somebody's face? It was painted red and green with dingle ball lashes on and rhinestones. Got something,
right.
You know, celebrities don't, no one, I repeat, no one, I got to yell it, is going to pay you to do that to them.
No.
No, the only place you see it is, you know, online and YouTube. And I'm not beating up on the YouTubers. But most of, you know, the people who have time to do all that aren't doing paid work.
Right.
There are some. There absolutely are some. But there, you know, for every one, I think there's 1,000 who don't. You know, but they get millions of views, and they're making money, and they're getting booked as speakers at the shows, and that's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own separate kind of audience. But it's people are, you know, looking at us all as one, as a makeup artist, and that is... I don't know. It's a little frustrating, right? That's why you brought it up.
Right.
But, you know, again, I challenge the schools to, you know, say if you wouldn't see it in a magazine, why are you teaching it? Why is this part of beauty or fashion or print? You know, that's not even runway. That's, I don't know what those are. But it's everywhere. I mean, it's not at my school, but I think I'm the only school that doesn't teach that because, you know, I'm all about giving them realistic situations and not, you know, there's so much to teach. I don't want to waste, you know, a day, even a 10 minutes on something like that.
Right. Well, you mentioned school. Talk a little bit about, for those who are listening, about your makeup academy. Tell them what it's called and let us know a little bit about what goes on there.
Well, I opened a school called Empire Academy of Makeup. Mainly because I had worked for a company and, I've been fired from lots of companies in my day, but I was a trainer with Christian Dior Cosmetics at one point, and I got fired for something really stupid, but they ended up getting upset because out of 48 line people that I had trained, 36 quit to come work for me the next day.
Oh, wow.
So the president who did it to me got in a lot of trouble, and the president in Paris said, you know, no matter what, get her back, and so when he called me to have me come back, he says, what are you trying to do, start your own empire? And I went, that's a really good name. So that's how my name came about. But anyway, I started Empire Academy Makeup when I was, I don't even know how old I was, 32 maybe. I think it was back in 97. And I had already had a makeup studio in my house. And I had so much work I couldn't even do it all between a little bit of television work, mostly print, some commercial work, and bridal, that type of thing. I couldn't do it all. So I started advertising, you know, back then before internet. I know a lot of people can't imagine that. Before the internet, I started advertising, you know, in the newspaper and whatnot for artists to come and do some of the work. And I was going to open an agency. And I did auditions in my studio. And I literally had to walk out of the studio to keep from laughing at some of the makeups. And these were people, you know, they've been doing makeup for years sometimes. They were just out of school. But I remember thinking, what are they learning in these schools? I mean, this one girl literally was contouring somebody. It was supposed to be a bridal makeup demo. And she was contouring someone with red shimmer blush. And I know
Wow.
Not everyone out there might be knows what contouring is, but just trust me, that would not be correct. And I was like, I remember looking at her eyeliner thinking, it looks like a monkey on crack just drew that. Like, I really thought, you know, Ashton Kutcher was going to run out and it was just all being punked. But, of course, Ashton Kutcher wasn't around back then. But, I mean, it was that bad. So at that point, I thought, gosh, you know, I have to actually train people before I can send them out on a job. So I started teaching people. And then after I trained, you know, about a dozen people, they all of a sudden were never available to work. They were like, oh, I'm booked, I'm so busy now, because I trained them all for free, I just made them better. Basically, they were competing with me. So I was like, okay, I'm not the brightest bulb in the tree. That didn't work out.
Right.
So, you know, months later, you know, people called me and said, oh, we want to do some training. You're amazing. We've heard this and that. I'm like, I'm not interested. I can't go there. I can't afford to do it. And this girl said, look, I don't want to work for you. I live in the valley. I just, you know someone you've trained, and they've all went from zero to, you know, 100 miles an hour in their career. You know, just I'll pay you. And I'm like, oh, all right, fine. So a couple hours in my dining room, you know, she came back a week later, wanted more, and brought somebody else with her, and then they wanted 6 hours, and then they referred me to people, and then all of one day I was, you know, had 19 people sitting on all kinds of, you know, like beach chairs and everything in my studio. And I was like,
wow,
this is crazy. And then somebody heard it from it that, you know, worked for actually like a Mary Kay kind of thing. And she wanted me to book, you know, to speak to her people. And that I did one of like 20 people, and that led to a room full of 200 people. And, you know, it just, I thought, okay, I know a lot. I figured out I'm pretty anal, so I figured out a lot of stuff in this industry, but I didn't realize I knew anything more than anybody else. But everyone was like, you know, they've gone to schools, and people were telling me, we learned more from you in a couple hours than we learned it a whole year somewhere else. So I thought, wow, really? You know, and that just motivated me to get even better at what I did, because I was just kind of like flying by the seat of my pants talking about whatever at that point. So I was like, So in the meantime, you know, I ended up, you know, opening the academy in 97 after, because of all that. And there was actually a school that had opened in my area that was pretty much just a total scam, ripping everybody off, changing their names every, you know, 9 months to avoid all the lawsuits kind of thing. And there was several people who, you know, basically came to my studio crying, saying, you know, I begged, borrowed, and stole money to come to school. I can't tell my family that they were right. This was a scam. Like, I didn't learn anything, but I don't want them to be right. Like, please help me.
Right.
Wow.
So I honestly opened my school because people were asking me to, and I never, ever thought in a million years I would still be teaching most of the classes 16 years later. I thought I'd teach for a year or so and, you know, pass the torch. But it's really hard to find people to do things at the level that I know they can be done.
Right. Because, you know, I often hear people say that, you know, today's graduate is, you know, tomorrow's instructor. Like, you have people that are graduating from these makeup schools, and then
Yeah. They're
instructors, like, you know, the next week.
They almost every school does it. They honestly do. Almost every single school. I mean, even some of the big ones that had been around, you know, for 20-something years have gone bankrupt, you know, because of all the lawsuits.
Yeah.
But
you
why is that, Donna? Do you know why that is?
Well, they say those who can't do teach. I mean, I hate that because people say that to me and I just want to punch them in the face because I take what I do really seriously. But ideally, that's kind of how the world works. If you're successful enough at doing something, you're out there doing it. Teachers' pay just doesn't work. So the ones who will do it for teachers' pay typically aren't really worth sitting in front of. And, you know, the school's got to keep their doors open. So, you know, they would like to have good instructors, but the point is they have to have somebody because they've already sold the seats.
Right.
You know, and
gotcha.
Most schools are, you know, owned by some big conglomerate or a bunch of people who, you know, aren't even from the industry. They wouldn't know a good teacher from a bad one anyway. So, you know, there's a few schools that are touted to be owned by a makeup artist, but none that actually teach. You know, there's some that have, you know, a great person's work on their site, but, you know, literally that's not the person teaching. But they allude to that. So people sign up, and then when they're there, they get, you know, an 18-year-old with a bag of eyeshadow talking to you.
Right.
You know, so my advice always to people who are looking, you know, into doing makeup seriously for a living is to do your research. Don't just sign up from the place that's closest to you, you know. I mean, just type in the name of the school with the word ripoff or scam or complaint, and you'd be amazed at the thousands of things that come up on so many schools.
Wow. Well, what should they be looking for when they're looking for a school?
Well, I mean, ideally, if you look at just the work that they post of their students do alone, I mean, that should speak volumes. But again, most people, you know, if they've only been watching YouTube videos, which is what so many people do, they've seen all the things, you know, we talked about that's not realistically paid work with the crazy lashes and feathers and all that. So they see that on a school site and just think they're going to learn to do it better, I guess. I don't know. So people just don't know what to look for. But, I mean, it seems like common sense. If you want to work with celebrities in film, like, they would not let you do that to their face.
Right.
But evidently it's not, because the rip-off schools, you know, they're taking money hand over fist. They're busy. They're opening 5 locations, 6 locations sometimes. So it's quite sad. But, you know, to look at the students' work they have posted, but more importantly, ask who the instructor is going to be. you know, and get it in writing, you know, because they'll always act like there's, you know, one person that came here, you know, 3 years ago and they got a 20-minute video of it, and they'll show that and make you think that's who's teaching,
right.
You know, and it was just some Emmy Award-winning person, you know, that was paid a lot of money to come do a, you know, a half a lecture, but they, you know, they don't come around and say, by the way, this is who your teacher is going to be. They never do. So people need to get smart and ask, who's my teacher? You know, if they say it's some Emmy Award-winning person, get it in writing. That every day that person's going to be here, or is that just one day, you know, for an hour? There's a big difference.
Right.
So ask who's teaching. Look at their work. You know, if they share with you the instructor's work, I mean, honestly, look at it. What have they done? What are their credits? And if they say, oh, they've done this film and this celebrity and this and that, Google it. And, you know, if they say they've done 15 magazines, ask them where those tear sheets are. Like, people don't question anything anymore. So marketing, like, look at the mascara commercials, for God's sake. With, you know, all the fake lashes on, it's so hideous.
Well,
it's embarrassing as a society that women just sit there and watch it and don't complain.
Right.
Like, we all know they have fake lashes on, but no one says anything.
Exactly. But, you know, also there are a lot of makeup artists on, you know, on a lot of the social networking sites who are advertising their classes. And so what should, you know, what should a makeup artist look for there? Because, I mean, there are tons of them who, you know, just started doing makeup like 2 or 3 years ago, but now they're teaching classes.
Well, I mean, you know, as a consumer, it's just really up to everybody to do their research. You know, there's tons of people, you know, that are doing classes. I see it all the time, and it kind of cracks me up, but what I have come to realize, I mean, when I started, of course, there were no makeup schools, and I used to go to every seminar I could find. Of course, IMATS didn't exist back then. You know, there was not much. It was cosmetology shows,
right.
You know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there'd be one or two makeup speakers. But I'd go, you know, halfway across country to at least go to one of those, thinking I might learn something. And it would be, you know, ridiculous that people up there. I can remember one time that it was a lady who owned a school, actually. And she was up there, and someone says, aren't you going to contour your model? And she goes, contour? I think that's that brown stripy thing that goes under their cheekbone. I don't believe in that. I was like, that's the owner of the school? It's all downhill from here, you know? And it's just so silly, because you can be an amazing makeup artist. I've actually paid to go to, you know, famous makeup artists, you know, classes and events on occasion. And you know, sometimes you can be absolutely amazing, but there's a difference in natural talent and someone who can explain it.
Right.
You know, natural talent is great. You know, very few people are born with that, and some people honestly do just have it. They just know. They can look at a face and just know what to gravitate to. But there's also the person who has scientifically realized why that color looks good. Not how they figured it out. Who knows how they figured it out?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason it looks great or not. There's a reason it turned muddy or not. There's a reason it blended right or it didn't. You know, it's about technique and the right brush and whose skin type, plus whatever moisturizer you put on, plus whatever formula of foundation you put on. I mean, it's a long math equation, basically. And I'm that person. There's always, most makeup artists are the, you know, right brain, left brain thing going on. I'm the analytical person. I became a good makeup artist because I grasped and understood the science, and then I just had to practice my ass off till I mastered it, where most people are opposite. So great makeup artists, you know, you can watch a demo, it's interesting, but you're not technically learning anything unless you walk away and, you know, end up doing maybe a makeup on that same person.
Right.
You know, I like to explain in general, like the makeup, you know, why I picked this formula is because of her skin type is this, and because we're doing outdoor, because of the time of day, it's almost sunset, the color is going to be reflecting from the sun, is going to alter this color, so I'm going to use this color so it looks like the color I wanted originally.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how technical I see it in my head, but I can explain it, and so many people just can't. You know, I've been to those workshops, and it's kind of like, you know, don't try this at home attitude as they're doing a beautiful look. You know, and it can be frustrating. So finding out if people can teach, not just if they have a good portfolio. A good portfolio should be there. But
yes,
there's also
right.
very few that can actually explain it and articulate it to somebody else.
And, you know, and it's easy to have a good portfolio because, I mean, you know, I've heard of tons of
Photoshop
artists,
nowadays.
Photoshop and not just that, but stealing other people's photos. So you can come up with anything for a portfolio.
It's true, and a lot of people are doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a small world. You know, most of the people get caught. I had someone just apply for an internship with me, and I didn't request a portfolio or anything, but the person said, please review my website and my portfolio. And, you know, she attached it, so I clicked, whatever. And I'm like, holy shit, this is a bunch of, oh, excuse me. This is a bunch of my graduate's work in her book. I'm like, who is this girl? So I thought, okay, don't jump to conclusions. This happens. But, you know, so I emailed, you know, the people who I had seen in the portfolio. And I said, did you have an assistant at this shoot? I showed them the picture. No, why? Do you know a girl by this name? No, why? I'm like, well, all your work's on her site.
Wow.
So, I mean, it does happen. I mean, I actually had somebody many, many years ago, who was a roommate, took my portfolio and went and applied for a job with it. And the funny thing was, those people called me because I had just did a big seminar for their company like a month before, and they recognized all my pictures. So, you know, karma will get most of them, I suppose.
Right. But that really proves that it really is a small world.
It is, and a lot of people don't notice. I mean, I'm in, gosh, I think 42 makeup artistry groups on Facebook alone, and so I see all the posts about this person, you know, still this. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. But anyway, what else can we talk about?
Well, I mean, since we're talking about that, like, in your opinion, like, what is the state of the beauty industry to you today? Like, with, you know, you have a lot of new makeup artists coming along. Some of them, you know, a lot of makeup artists are great at, you know, their skill level is great. But again, like you said, they can't explain it. Because one thing that frustrates me a lot is you see a lot of makeup artists and they're doing makeup the way they see someone else do makeup, but yet they can't explain to you why they're doing it that way. Like, they can't explain the highlighting. They can't explain the contouring. You know, and they're not taking a corrective approach to the makeup. It's just, oh, so-and-so does it this way, and so they want to be like so-and-so, and so they start doing makeup like that person.
Yeah. Like Kim Kardashian, everyone has seen her videos, I suppose, and wants to, you know, pile 17 pounds of makeup on. You know, not everyone has Kim Kardashian's perfect skin. So, you know, in person it looks pretty hideous, ideally. But, you know, I mean, everybody has to learn from somewhere. So if that's where people are pulling their inspiration, nowadays with the internet, it's such a different world than what, you know, that wasn't even an option for me, you know, when I started. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said before, God bless them for wanting to be a makeup artist. You know, I think you got to put in your dues and become your own person. You know, it's just like on American Idol. Like, they're like, okay, that was great, but you're sounding like a fake, you know, other famous singer. You know, you got to be realistic. You should be known for something. You know, what is it you're great at? And some people are just great at copying. You know, I mean, if they get paid work out of it, then so be it. There's, you know, ideally there's probably a lot of those makeup artists out there.
Oh my God, you're so funny, Donna.
I'm sorry, did I not answer your question?
You did.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, everyone calls themselves a makeup artist, you know. When I worked at the mall, I didn't really consider myself a makeup artist, but now everybody does. You know, the Mary Kay lady, the Avon lady, thinks they're a makeup artist, you know, on their time off, and they want to, you know, promote themselves or do weddings or whatever. It's like, you know, if they have a client that's willing to pay them, then guess what? They're a makeup artist. You know, it's all up to the person booking you. I see posts constantly in the Facebook groups about, can you believe this person posted this and they're willing to undercut our rates and they're going to do, you know, print for, you know, $100 for a full day rate. It's like the client that would hire her and expect something at $100 for a full day is not the client you probably are worried about
anyway.
Like, let's be serious. I mean, you know, everybody's, you know, if they're sitting at home playing on Facebook in a group, they're really not out there working as much as they like to pretend anyway, I suppose. There's a lot of fakers out there that, you know, I just wish people would question and ask, you know, where are all these tear sheets? When did you do these 72 celebrities on your list? Why aren't they in your book?
Right.
So true.
So, yeah, that is very true. Very true. Well, let me change the subject just a little bit, just a little bit. I wanted to talk about the beauty camp that I'm reading about on your website.
Okay. Well, my beauty camp, actually, that was an idea that came to me. I'll be honest, it wasn't my own idea. I answered the phones once at my work, which I usually don't because I have a lot of staff, but at one point I answered the phone. This lady goes, yes, can you please help me? I'm looking for beauty camp. And I'm like, beauty camp? Huh? What the heck is that? She's like, well, you know, like my son's going to space camp or science camp, something like that. My other daughter's going to cheerleading camp. My other daughter, well, she doesn't really do anything. So I asked her what she wanted to do, and she said, I want beauty camp. So I thought, oh, okay, let me find one. And so she called me because, you know, in the paper, I have an academy, an agency, a studio, a store, you know, all this stuff with BeautyWise. She's like, if you don't have it, you should know somebody who does. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. Somebody needs to do that. And it took me actually 2 years from the day I took that phone call to write the curriculum and, you know, hire and train staff. And I only trained my graduates because I knew they knew how focused and serious I was about professionalism and ethics and whatnot. So we opened to teach girls, you know, of course, how to wash your face and do your makeup appropriately and, you know, keep your skin from getting acne or breakouts at the prom, whatnot. But we also showed them how to walk in heels and how to talk and, you know, psychology as far as, you know, getting along with your parents and communication skills and the difference in your real friend versus what we call frenemies nowadays. You know, and peer pressure and drugs and, you know, abusive relationships and all these things. I mean, it was so amazing and brilliant, but it was actually back in 2008 when the economy all started to fall apart. And after training everyone for 3 months, we honestly didn't sell enough seats. So I had to either cancel everything or have it. And basically, I decided to have it and work out the kinks. And I gave away almost $60,000 worth of seats to local charities. So, you know, ideally it wasn't, you know, all the rich Newport Beach girls who would have loved to have been there. It was the girls who really needed it, that didn't have a lot of, you know, mentors, and they were from broken homes and stuff like that. So it was the most amazing experience ever. I feel like it's part of my destiny, to tell you the truth. However, because the economy was in such a bad shape, you know, it was tough. So Segerstrom's, I'm not sure if you know who they are. They're a very wealthy family in Southern California. They own, like, South Coast Plaza and the Performing Arts Center, and they own half the town over here. They give about $70,000 a year to children's charities, and they found out about our program. They said, if you go nonprofit, we'll give you like $3 to $5 million in seats a year. We'll just fill the seats with all the charities. I was like, works for me. So
works for you, that's right.
It's a very long process of going nonprofit with all the paperwork. So it actually should be done probably in the next month, but you know, it's gonna be too late for this summer. So ideally we'll open that again next summer.
Oh,
I'd love to franchise it all over. I mean, we had moms, you know, the first day the moms are dropping off and the kids didn't want to be here, you know, and the next day the moms are showing up. The kids are like, no, come back later, you know. The kids just didn't want to leave, and by the third day the moms are saying, I don't know what you did to my daughter, but she made her bed this morning. She gave me a kiss. She told me she loved me. She's like, oh, you know, it was just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of psychology that I've just learned from the industry as far as how to get through to the kid and how to make them think like an adult thinks, because they all want to be an adult. So it's all in how you suggest things to them. it's good. But I don't have it going on right now because of the whole nonprofit situation.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your masterclass tour that you're doing mid-March.
The next one, is I'm leaving mid-March for Australia. I usually hit Sydney all the time and sometimes Melbourne and Brisbane, but this time I'm not even hitting Sydney. I'm hitting Brisbane, Newcastle, Nelson Bay, Perth, in a little teeny town called Broken Hill that is in the middle of Australia, which I think they don't even have a gas station. but, you know, this girl kept saying, please come here. No one comes here. And I said, well, you know, if you get 10 people together, I'll do my best. And, you know, she said she did. And I was like, okay, well, getting deposits from 10, that's another story. And then she did. And I was like, God bless you. I'm going to come even if it costs me money at this point. So in Australia, I just do the big master classes. So they're really just a series of 1 or 2 day classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people just take one. Some people take all of them. Some people follow me from city to city to city and go to all of them.
Oh, wow.
So there's not, you know, a lot of good schools anywhere, ideally. But, you know, in Australia, they're kind of what they say, even a little bit behind us here in America, as far as, you know, their education, mm-hmm. you know, like the cosmetology, you know, to this day in California at least, you go to the cosmetology, 1,600 hours of hair basically, mm-hmm. And you're considered a licensed makeup artist when you leave because of that one day they remind you you played on face charts with cotton and Q-tips with the blue eyeshadow.
Right.
And, you know, in Australia, they're basically, you know, utilizing our old curriculum from the 40s, the same thing we're doing here still in cosmetology schools. So, you know, they're very appreciative over there. It's a different culture there than it is mm-hmm. here. Like here, if someone says something nice to you, you just automatically think they're being sarcastic. In Australia, they're quite sincere. The first time I spoke there at IMATS, you know, when I came off stage, people were standing in line to talk to me and ask me to take pictures and my autographs and everything. I was just kind of cracking up. And I'm like, okay. And then a bunch of them said, can you please do classes? You know, you're here for a few more days, aren't you? And I'm like, well, it's a little late to do classes, you know. And they're like, no, can't you do it in your hotel? We'll all come. And I looked, and I'm like, oh, you guys are all together? I thought they were, like, from a school on a bus or something.
Right, right.
And they looked around at each other, and they're like, no, we don't know each other, but we'll come. I'm like, here you are. You know, like in America, you know, they would say that, and, you know, one person would show up. But I swear they all showed up the next night at
wow.
my hotel.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and I did one night, and they were all swearing. This is more than we learned in all our whole years of all of them had gone to different schools. So I did it again the next night, and then I think I went back 4 months later and did another one, and I pretty much go twice a year ever since.
Oh, wow. So how hard is it preparing for something like that? I mean, like, do you travel with a team of people?
Like, I wish. No, it's just me, so it's kind of a nightmare.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, it's kind of a nightmare. I usually only do 5 or 6 hour classes, and the last one I did, I actually had so many, you know, people who had already taken a lot of my classes there were begging me to do my 160-hour class here, you know, to come there basically for, you know, 3 or 4 months, and I was like, I can't. I mean, I have to teach at my academy here, too. The only time I can go there is when I do all the media workshops and stuff I don't teach, you know, the airbrush and character and bald cap and old age and all that. That's the only time I can go every year. So what I did is I did 8-hour days, which quickly turned into, like, 9-hour days. You know, driving back and forth each way for, like, 12-hour days, and it was pretty grueling, you know, having all the different curriculum and finding somewhere to make copies all the time, and, oh, it was a nightmare. So the next one, I'm not doing the 8-hour days. Well, that's a lie. I'm doing 8-hour days in person. But, you know, I don't know. They all want so much, you know, and it's hard. And a lot of them will say, wow, it's kind of expensive. It's like, it's a lot cheaper than coming to America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But those are popular there, the master classes. I had never really even heard of it talked in that term before, but that's kind of just their word for, you know, someone who does a couple classes at a time.
Oh, okay. Nice. Well, there's a caller out there. Let's see. I want to take this call. Hello? Hello? Okay, I don't think they want to talk. They must just want to listen because too much noise in the background. Okay.
Donna, tell us about your this great museum makeup collection you have.
Oh, well, I've been collecting, you know, vintage makeup, gosh, I think since I was 17. I bought my first piece when my mother used to drag me to the antique swap meet because my mom liked antiques. And, of course, as a teen, it was like that was, like, the worst thing ever. So, you know, walking around early in the morning being all mopey or whatnot. And, you know, I had already worked in cosmetics, actually. And one time I saw this really beautiful container, and it was a loose powder, but it was, like, all encased in satin, and it had never been opened. It was just all, I don't know, you just wanted to touch it and play with it. It was so pretty and soft. And I bought it. I just thought, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with it. I thought this is kind of interesting. And then I started realizing, oh, they have some powder over here. Oh, they have contacts. Oh, look at this old lipstick, you know. And I just kind of got the fever, you can say. So I had bought hundreds of items, probably. And then I discovered eBay when that first started. Holy cow. I really thought I should start eBay Anonymous at one point because it does become an addiction. if anyone's done it before, they know what I'm talking about. And I would buy so many things I couldn't even remember what I bought. You know, I would just get packaged every day. Half the time I wouldn't even open it, or if it was messy, I would just throw it away. I couldn't be bothered. And my bookkeeper at one point says, Donna, you have to stop buying. Do you know how much you've bought? And I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know. What have I, how much have I spent? Like about 10 grand. She goes, Donna, you spent $42,000 in the last few months. I was like, holy cow. So I already had a lot, and then I just really kind of went crazy. I hardly ever buy stuff anymore unless it's something really rare that I know I don't have. But what became such a cool addiction is, you know, you'd find a beautiful piece and you didn't know how old it was. You know, you do research and sometimes you would find an advertisement for it. So then you knew when it was. So then I started collecting the advertisements to go along with every piece I had. So,
wow.
You know, it was a big investment. It's, I think the last time I counted, I had almost 3,000 pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, and some of it's like so crazy and interesting and rare, and some things you wonder, why isn't they, why don't they still make this, you know? And lots of really interesting stuff. Like I had the very first mascara ever made by Maybelline, and the Orange County Register wrote a whole article on it and posted some of the images, and then the people from the Today Show saw it. Yeah. So it's supposed to run on the Today Show website soon because they interviewed me as well. And when I was researching for them, because they're like, don't guess. We have to know the exact date or we can't say it. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're the friggin' Today Show. So I was doing my research, and then I came across, you know, one of my favorite pieces is this original Maybelline mascara with a picture of Mabel right on it, who was the creator's sister. And I was researching it, and I found the lady that said, the heiress to Maybelline fortune. You know, she's traveling doing her story. And I was like, oh, how cool is that? I wish I would have caught this. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's next week. I'm like, where is it? And I thought, of course, it was New York or something. And it was in Newport Beach, which is literally like a half mile from my house.
Oh, wow.
So I went to this big function. I met her, and then she thought it was a bigger deal that I was there. So she actually, you know, talked about me on stage that I was sitting in her audience, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. So then she came to meet with me here, and we shared, you know, she brought all her vintage pieces. I brought out all my Maybelline pieces. And, you know, of course, I brought all the copycats who started. She's like, did you know we bought them, and we bought them, and we bought them, so there'd be no competition? So she taught me some things I didn't even know. So this really cool. I actually put it all out in my old building. A lot of it was on display, but I have a new facility, and, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know, new and pretty and hip, and it kind of, I didn't want it to look like a garage sale exploded, so it's all in storage now. But I put it out once a year for a 3-day period makeup workshop that I do, and that's when I had put so much work into it last time displaying it, I called the newspaper to say, hey, do you want to come check this out? Mm-hmm. And that's what led to, of course, the Today Show thing, as well as the heiress to Maybelline and all that.
Oh, nice. Wow. What do you like to teach? What do you like to teach the most?
Oh, that's hard to say. There's so much. Gosh. I mean, corrective makeup is, you know, my love and my passion because, you know, like I said, I've developed the methods that, you know, nobody even... They don't exist otherwise. A lot of makeup artists go, I know that. And then I'll ask them a certain question. I go, oh, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a big deal. But in order to master that, you really have to know and understand skin. And so many makeup artists don't. You know, they just hand people, you know, baby wipes to wipe off their face and stuff. You know, I always say, you can't do that to a celebrity. Their celebrity's going to, like, kick you in the crotch if you hand them a baby wipe to wipe off their face. You know, so I teach so much about skin, you know, and it's what's necessary at least for a makeup artist to know and how to analyze it correctly, therefore, which, you know, how to prep their face and what moisturizer you use is going to give a different result. Therefore, you can use this foundation after all, or you couldn't have, you know, that kind of thing. So skin is really one of my loves. I've had so many people say, you know, you need to do your own makeup line and whatnot, and ideally, you know, it's been on my to-do list for 15 years. But I would honestly do a skincare line first.
Mm-hmm.
So skincare, corrective, but then against the advanced print work, you know, techniques that I teach, so you really don't have to depend on Photoshop. I don't know anyone else who teaches any of that. I have been to so many trainings myself, and I've never seen anyone who knew so many of the little things that I've figured out. You know, I'm sure there's people out there that know this and that, but like I said, I have a very good friend who does the photoshopping for, you know, Vogue and Elle and Bazaar and People magazine. I mean, for almost everything. And I've seen every famous makeup artist work. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know some things that, I'm not saying I know everything by any means, but I know that there's some advanced things that most people do depend on Photoshop for. Mm-hmm. That I think that's part of why my graduates are so successful. They come out with, you know, anytime you leave school, you're always not sure of how good you are or what you know, but once they start working, you know, in the real world with other artists, they instantly realize, wow, I know that. I knew better than that. I didn't do that, you know.
Right.
So my grads have a very high success rate. I'm told we have the highest success rate in all of the United States.
Nice. So what advice do you have for makeup artists that are just starting out?
Well, besides, you know, getting images of your work and studying your work, to really own it. You can't learn and grow until you've made a mistake to learn and grow from.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have that fear of making a mistake that they just never do it, you know. A lot of times my most talented skill-wise graduates are the ones who are the most scared to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they say, ignorance is bliss. The ones who have the lowest scores are usually out there working and shooting and testing and get their tear sheets first very often. So it doesn't always happen that way, but just, you know, to have faith. If you're passionate about something, that usually means you're already pretty good at it.
Right.
But I challenge people to become good at it, be willing to make that mistake so you can learn and grow. Like a lot of people go, oh, the model skin was horrible. I don't even want to see the pictures from the shoot. It's like, no, absolutely. It doesn't matter. You can still tell good or bad makeup from a bad model, from bad photography.
Mm-hmm.
You can still learn from your own craft. So you know, don't just look at it. Print that picture. Put it on your dresser and look at it and own what you did wrong. Or you're just going to do it again. And so many people don't
That.
It's so, you know, we're such an instant gratification society now that nobody wants to go there. The negative thing is just so not comfortable for people. But I think it's a huge part of learning. When somebody screws up, you know, my class, it's kind of like, yay! I'd much rather you learn that lesson here than on a real world in the paid job.
Right.
That would be pretty embarrassing. So be thankful you just learned that because you're never going to do that again. And I'm like, yeah. So it's like, let's celebrate you screwed up. Yay! So I don't know. I think that's some of my best advice. And just to practice. A lot of people think, well, I started to do it because I thought I was really good at it. Now I learned there's so much more than I thought. I don't know if I'm passionate. Well, you got to master it at that level then. You know, now that you know there's more to it, you should be motivated to master it. You know, but I teach from the scientific level, very, you know, it's not just the art of it. Most trainers will say, oh, this is the way I like to do a smoky eye. You know, and those kind of words don't ever come out of my mouth. It's like, you know, your attention goes to here on a face. That is a fact. Therefore, downward angles, you know, are considered unattractive. So your thing has to end upward in an upward angle. Your mind also follows gradient color. So see where this gradient ends and it's pointing down. And if you blended it up like this, just do a little technique. And they're like, oh, look how different. You know, my students are always saying, you barely touched it and it's so much better. It's like, yeah, that's the science of it. It just is.
So, Donna, is there anything that you would like to share with us before we finish the show? Websites, any classes or seminars coming up or anything like that?
Well, my website is Donna Me Inc. It's Donna, D-O-N-N-A, last name MEEINC.com. From there, you can get to my academy or my own, you know, portfolio or my speaking gigs and stuff like that. My academy site just separately is empireacademy.com, but you can get there through my site. For the Australian speaking tour, I don't know, do you have a big audience in Australia?
No, not yet.
Okay, we'll get you there.
Yeah.
I have a big following there. We should get you there to IMET. My Australian thing probably then is kind of irrelevant. Let's see.
Well, talk about it anyway because, you know, there are a few people, international followers, not large, but they're there.
Yeah.
You can just mention it anyway.
Well, the majority of my students, even here at my academy, are from out of state or out of the country. Like if someone says, you know, I want to enroll there because it's right down the street, I'm, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to accept you for enrollment. We're considered the Harvard of makeup schools where most, you know, you can just type in your credit card online and show up the next day and start. You know, you have to actually interview here for a space because I've dedicated over 20 years of my life to this industry. And, you know, I'm serious about what I do. I'm busy. I have my books and the educational tours and the academy and the agency and the studio and the store and my brush line. I have all these things. I'm very busy. I honestly work usually 7 days a week, about 18 hours a day. And for me to dedicate my time in the classroom to someone who really doesn't want to be there, I just don't have time for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Just go be a truck driver. Go do something else. Or, you know, or go to a school. They just smile at you and let you play in the makeup and the, you know, rhinestone lashes every day if that's all you want. But they're in the wrong place. For us, it's really my tagline is for those serious about makeup. And just because of that, I just, you know, I feel like I'm dedicated to them, and I have given most of my life to my grads. My grads know they can call me, text, or email almost 24 hours a day, and I'm always working, and I can give them advice or help them negotiate a thing or remind them what's supposed to be in a contract or whatever it is. They know they kind of get free consulting for life, which is kind of ridiculous. But it's part of, you know, why my kids are so successful and why they work. And I feel like I'm rambling and kind of forgot the question.
Well, I just want to say hello to Lee Will, who's out there listening tonight. And there's another caller on the line, and I'm going to try to take this call and see what they have to say.
Okay.
Hello. Okay.
I hear someone
hello.
Say
hello.
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 Okay. Well, we're not gonna stay there long. But
we're not doing well with the callers.
No, we're not doing well with the callers tonight. I don't know what's going on with that, but it just made me lose my thought.
Well,
anyway.
I think you had asked me about talking about Australia, but I said I have a lot of people who do. I have actually a student from Australia right now. Shout out to Whitney out there. And I have another one enrolling that starts, I think, in January. So shout out to Nitran coming back from Australia. But I do have a lot of students who come from out of the area because, you know, we don't advertise or promote. So a lot of people are like, I didn't even know you existed. But my belief is I'm so serious and focused about what we do. I believe if you're not bright enough to do your research and find me, you probably won't grasp the curriculum I'm throwing at you anyway. Because we go at such a fast pace. I mean, a lot of, when Kevin Aquan was alive, him and his boyfriend at the time, Eric's office, they used to refer people to my academy. Because, you know, there were so many schools out there that just weren't doing anything. And I used to work with Kevin backstage Fashion Week in the day. And he, you know, knew that I knew my stuff. So that was quite an honor to have, you know, that happen. And
right.
He was still
absolutely.
With us.
So, I mean, you said that you teach all of your classes yourself?
I teach the majority of the main courses. I don't teach all of the media workshops.
Okay.
So once a year when we have those going on, usually, well, some of them are twice a year, those are my breaks I get. But instead of actually taking breaks, I go to Australia for all the students who can't afford to come to me.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And so how
I'm totally open to going to other countries. I'm actually negotiating right now to do some classes in India and some others in South Africa and London again.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So how many students do you have at your school at one particular time?
For example, our semester, we're in advanced semester, we have 11.
Oh, okay.
So they're very small classes.
Yeah,
I don't do the 30, 40, 50, 60 people in a room like most of the, you know, schools in which you don't really learn anything. You know, and even if 10 students, it is so hard once they're doing hands-on to get around and give them the critical feedback and advice and show them how to do it better and differently in a way that they can even understand it, it's so hard to rotate the room more than a few times, you know?
Right.
So the schools that have 50, 60 people, you know, I have had graduates several times. that finished some of those other schools, you know, in LA, and, you know, realized they didn't know they didn't learn anything until they went on the set and were humiliated. And, you know, not many people can afford to reinvest in education, start over with student loans, but, you know, some rich kids every once in a while would, and they're just, you know, blown away at how, what a different experience it is.
Right. Right.
But, you know, with 60 people in a room, you know, you know they're lucky if the instructor just said, hey.
One girl
particularly used to say, you know, I would stand there and say, Mrs. Jones, I need help. And the instructor would just yell at me, like, if you call me one more time, I'm not coming there for a week. But, you know, that's people who are, you know, don't really know what they're doing. They don't know what to say when they get there. So they just go, oh, that's pretty. How'd you know to use that color? You know, where... You know, I hate to say I beat my kids up, but the entire, they're aware. You're paying me to point out what's wrong because you can't see it or you wouldn't have done it. You're paying me to hone your eye to see how to do better. And a lot of them get to that point, like, I see it, but my hand won't agree with it. My hand isn't there yet. So sometimes you get it in your head, but it takes a while for your hand to catch up.
Right.
But my goal always for my academy was to improve the quality of makeup artists, not the quantity. You know, I say I'd close my doors before I just did this for money. You know, obviously I'm a business. But it's not about money for me. It was about because people were begging me to do it.
Right. Right.
So ideally, someday soon I'll get back to my own goals, which was launching my own line and stuff like that. My goal originally was to sit on the couch next to Oprah and have her go, I did not know that. So I got to talk her back into doing a show first.
Show again, right.
Hilarious.
That is hilarious. So, Donna, what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? Gosh, that's a good question because it depends on, I mean, I guess the answers could be so enormous and vast, but I think the power of somebody's beauty is what it's all about. You know, how women feel about their own reflection in the mirror is everything to their life experience. You know, I'm sure we've all done women who, you know, cry because they felt so pretty. And I challenge makeup artists who say, oh, yeah, that happened to me once. It's like, why doesn't it happen to you every day? You know,
right.
I love doing celebrity work and stuff. You know, it's more fun to talk about than it typically is to do because we're kind of low man on the totem pole. We don't always get treated as nice as everyone wants to pretend. But, you know, I'll take doing Susie Q in a trailer park any day over a celebrity booking, you know, because it's just such a different experience. You know, I mean, you know, I've worked on supermodels. I mean, you know, at one point Cindy Crawford was like, wow, like, I look amazing. It's like, no kidding, you're friggin' Cindy Crawford. But, you know, she's like, no, I don't always think my makeup is amazing, trust me. And I thought, okay, that's a pretty big compliment coming from Cindy in the day when she was a supermodel in the 90s, you know, when she's had her makeup done 80 million times.
Right.
So, but, I mean, even for that being her, I mean, she was on set and she's like, I was on fire today because I just felt so awesome. And it made me realize, you know, what does that say about the everyday woman who's never liked her own reflection in the mirror? You know, it's part of why I'm in this industry in the first place is when I worked at the mall, I worked at JCPenney's. That was my first cosmetic position, if you can imagine. Not exactly the, you know, Nordstrom or Macy's or anything. But I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I did, myself like I did all my friends. If you didn't look like me, it probably didn't look so good, you know. I had no training whatsoever, but I was enthusiastic about just, you know, playing in the makeup at that point. You know, in today's age, I would have been the YouTuber, you know. I didn't know. I just did everybody the same. And I did this woman's makeup, and she sent me a dozen roses, like 9 months later. So I get roses, you know, delivered to my work. I didn't even think they were mine. I'm like, I'm not dating anybody. I tried to send the guy away, and he's like, are you Donna Mee? Yeah. These are, and I open the card, and it says, you've changed my life forever, Florence. And I was like, who the heck is Florence? I mean, like, somebody has a crush on me? Like, I don't get it. And then, you know, I was a kid, so I didn't even take them home. I left my dozen roses sitting on the register. And a couple days later, of course, they're probably totally dying. And the lady walks up to me, and she goes, oh, I see you got my flowers. And then I was embarrassed because I knew they were kind of dead behind me. And I looked at her, and I swear I wouldn't have ever thought I'd even seen the woman before. Like, I did not even remember her, which is sad for me to admit, but I admit I did not remember her. She says, you remember me, don't you? And I said, oh, of course, but of course I didn't. And she goes, let me tell you what my card meant. And I'm like, please do, because I have no idea what this is about. And she says, I was coming here to pay my bill because I couldn't afford a stamp. And you just were all excited about something, and you said, here, let me show you how to do something. You go, I'm the kind of woman that just can't say no. So I just reluctantly sat in your chair and waited for you to shut up. I'm like, ouch. She's like, you were so excited, and you took like an hour and a half to do my makeup, and I'm thinking, I'm sure I did. And she goes, and I wasn't interested in whatever. She goes, I had like my hand were like claws on the chair waiting for you to basically shut up so I could leave. And I'm sorry, my janitor just walked in. Anyway, she says, when I just, got out of your chair, I didn't buy anything. You didn't care. You said, have a good day. I walked away. She goes, I didn't feel bad because you didn't seem like you cared. I went home. I did my groceries. And when I was carrying my groceries in the house, it was New Year's Eve, actually. And she said, her neighbor saw her and went, oh, Florence, you look so beautiful. You're coming to my party tonight, aren't you? Oh, I'm so excited. And the lady goes, oh, yeah, sure, I'll see you later. She goes, I had no intention of the party. I have not been to her party in 7 years since my husband passed away. And whatever. Put away her groceries. She says, when I went to hang up my dry cleaning, I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. And I thought, who are you? Where have you been? And she said she just instantly felt so beautiful. Her entire life experience changed. She remembered who she used to be, and she said she hadn't worn makeup since her husband had died 7 years before. She hadn't done much besides, didn't hardly ever leave the house. And so she said she was so excited, she kept trying on clothes till she got a dress that would fit, and she put one on and she went to the party. And I'm still thinking, okay, woohoo, you went to a party. I don't know how that changed your life, but she says, Donna, you don't understand. At this party, I would have never went to if you hadn't done my makeup. I felt so different. I felt so beautiful. I felt so happy for the first time in 7 years. She was like, at this party, I met a man, and we started dating. And we fell in love, and we're getting married. And I've started a business with him, and it was just, she's like, I have a life, and I was waiting to die a bitter woman.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I have told that story thousands of times, and I get choked up every time because it's just so, it's so real and it's so deep. And I changed her life, but at the same time she changed mine, because I realized this isn't just fun playing in the makeup like I do on my friends. Like, this is bigger than I even understood.
Exactly.
Right.
So sorry, I need to
say it's quite all right.
This is a great definition of what beauty is.
Absolutely. I know that was a long answer to your question, but the validity of how huge it can be to women is just unknown by so many.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my students, you've been out somewhere doing errands and you run into an old boyfriend. You're just like, oh, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. But as soon as they walk away, you run for your compact. You look at yourself and you think, oh, hell, if I knew how bad I looked, I would have ran the other way, because it's a different experience. When you know you look good, you got a best outfit on or whatever, you have a little more sash in your step. You know what I mean? It's just a different life experience.
Right.
Just lead to one little change could lead to so much when you love your reflection in the mirror. So that's why corrective makeup became so important to me, because, doing celebrity and stuff, it don't matter if you even know how to do it. They're beautiful.
Right.
It's hard to do a bad job on a really beautiful person.
Right.
It's possible, but it's pretty hard. But doing the everyday public and doing brides and, gosh, you have to learn how to, fix a bad crooked nose and, make their skin look more smooth or narrow out their face or reduce their chubby cheeks that they hate. Or, everybody looks better with some makeup on. But there's how to look different. Women who have hated their nose all their life and also do 2 seconds on their nose and they're like screaming, like, oh, my God, it looks like I just had surgery. It's like, yeah, let me show you how to do this little secret. See this goes, here's it. That's it. Like, I've been walking around the earth my whole life with this nose I hate, and that's all I had to do. Why is no one ever taught me? It's like most people don't know how to do noses. In school, we just learned the 2 dark stripes on the side and the light down the middle. That only works if you already have a good nose.
Right.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're enhancing how crooked their nose is.
Exactly.
I teach that that every year on stage at IMATS, and I say, how many of you learn to do this? Everyone raises their hand. How many of you don't do it? Because, you know, sometimes it looks really bad. Every same person raises their hand. It's like, I know. They were lying. I mean, it's so frustrating.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Is there anything that you would change about the path that you've taken during your career at all?
Oh, gosh. Sometimes I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes I don't. Like when I opened my academy, I did it because people were basically crying in my office begging me to help them. And I'm like the big Girl Scout. I want to save the world all the time. But, you know, all of my goals, you know, my cosmetic line that I was, you know, starting on, and, you know, books that I started to write and all that got totally put on hold. I didn't intend for it to be put on hold for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
So, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't go back and change it, so I really don't want to sulk about it. But, you know,
right.
a lot of good has come from it. My original goal was to, you know, have women love their reflection in the mirror. And then at one point I realized I can only do so many people in a day if I work at the mall. So then I aspired to become a trainer. So then I did that for Christian Dior. I did that for Makeup Forever. And I'm actually the one who brought Makeup Forever to America and launched it here, convinced them to go retail. You know, I've done that. So now I'm teaching lots of people at the mall to do it, you know, but it kind of wasn't enough because so many of them, you know, they don't get it. You can only teach so much in a couple of days. Like, they didn't all get the passion to do it because there wasn't enough to teach them. So, you know, up in my academy, ideally, I've taught thousands and thousands of artists now. And, you know, if you've read my testimonials, they're amazing. I mean, I get accused of writing fake testimonials because they're too amazing. It's like, that's why I put their name in their, city. So look them up on Facebook. Find them yourself, you know.
Well, we have Bethany Towns in the chat room, and she says she's been listening on the phone, and she just wanted to thank you, Donna, that she can really feel your passion through the phone.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me.
She said you're so inspiring and so motivating.
Where's she from?
She is originally from Baltimore, Maryland, but she lives in New York City.
Okay, great. I've got grads in New York.
She'll be looking out for you if you come that way, I'm sure.
All right. Well, I'm hoping to get there to speak this year, or 2013, but we'll see.
Thank you for listening, Bethany.
Tell her to Facebook me.
All right.
In fact, I forget. Let me look at my Facebook. I have, of course, my personal Facebook, but then I have a fan page. If I can have people, if they're interested in contacting me, go to my fan page. It's just under Donna Mee, Beauty Expert and Educator.
Okay.
I would love to hear from all the Beauty Talk Radio fans out there.
You said Donna Mee, Beauty?
Donna Mee, Beauty Expert and Educator.
Okay, Beauty Expert and Educator.
This has really been an awesome interview, Donna.
Well, thanks.
You just have, you know, very real and honest answers, which is what, you know, our listeners really need to hear.
Well, I pride myself in my honesty, but it gets me in trouble. It pisses off a lot of people. But, you know, I always say the truth will hold up in a court of law, so.
Absolutely.
What are you going to do? Well, thank you for such an amazing opportunity to meet you guys and talk to you and all of your fans out there. I really appreciate it. I think we went way over, though. Is that normal?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's normal.
I talk a lot. Next time we need 2 hours.
Hey,
yeah, we'll have
2 hours
next time.
Sure. Not a problem for us.
We definitely want to have you back for sure.
Okay, that would be great.
Do 2 hours. We'll do 2 hours for sure the next time.
Not a problem. No, our classes are 5 hours at my academy, and we don't even take a break. We don't even take 2 minutes.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. And half the time we're here till 10:30, sometimes 11, instead of 10 o'clock at night when it's supposed to wrap. So there's so much on every subject. Like, I hate to, you know, take something out, and then I kick myself later if I hear they have some story where they didn't know something I could have squeezed in a day.
Mm-hmm. So Lee and Viola and Bethany and all the other ones who are out there listening, make sure you go to Donna's Facebook fan page and leave a comment. Tell her how much you liked tonight's show.
Yes, Bethany's already found her page.
Okay.
And I see Marietta just wrote 9 minutes ago, "I'm so sorry I missed the show." She doesn't know it's still on.
Right. but, you know, after I think after an hour, if you're not on the phone line, then Blog Talk Radio will cut you off, like out of the chat room. You won't be able to hear anything if you're trying to listen online. So once we hang up, the show will download it probably in about the next 10 minutes, and then she'll be able to go back to the archives and hear the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So for those people that missed it, they can always go out to the archives to hear any show.
Okay, so the archives go even longer than obviously.
Yeah, it'll it's still recording this, so it'll get all of this, and you'll be able to hear the whole thing.
Fabulous. So what else should we talk about?
I want to know why. I seriously want to know why you're not giving your students a pee break. They need at least 2 minutes.
I figure if I got to hold it because I got something to say, they should too. So they can walk out anytime they need to. You know, like some people are hypoglycemic or whatever. They got to go eat something. It's like, you know, but still, like they run in the break room, they heat up their stuff, and they stand in the doorway and they eat it, you know, because they don't want to miss a minute of it either usually.
Right.
So it's not like they got to, you know, strap on to pens or anything. They can go anytime they want.
That's cool.
Well, Don, follow when you get a chance, follow the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio show page, because sometimes our listeners go out there and make comments about tonight's show as well. So you'll be able to see some of those.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I look forward to talking to you girls again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Donna, for joining us. Have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For those of you who liked tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can leave us your comments on the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio page. if you have any suggestions or people that you think you may want to have us interview here on Beauty Talk for next year, just always leave us a comment. 9 times out of 10, we've thought about most of them, but, you know, sometimes scheduling is hard, but we'll do our best with trying to get on some of the artists, makeup artists, hairstylists, manicurists, anybody in the world of beauty, beauty brands, beauty supply store owners, whoever, just let us know your thoughts. And join us again next week where we will have a panel of artists on, and next week will be our last show of the year, if I'm not mistaken. So join us next week for Beauty Talk, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night and continue to be beautiful and blessed.
Good night, everybody.